You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Did you know that yoga does more than just relieving stress and tight muscles? Research shows that yoga practice has a significant potential for addressing key lifestyle and behavioral issues with disorders such as type 2 diabetes. Here to tell us more about this research and the practice of yoga is Annie Kay, the leading nutritionist at the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health and the author of the award-winning book, Every Bite is Divine, and newly released book, Yoga and Diabetes, Your Guide to Safe and Effective Practice. Welcome to Wellness for Life Radio, Annie. Can you tell the listeners what got you into writing this yoga book and the connection between yoga and diabetes?
Yes, well, I work at the largest yoga center in the country, the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health. And so I've been a firm believer in the power and ability of yoga for quite a while. But I have to say, over the last few years, the explosion in the scientific literature around the benefits of yoga for various conditions has gotten my attention and has also gotten the scientific community's attention. So I was just so thrilled when the American Diabetes Association actually asked me and my colleague, Dr. Lisa Nelson, who's the Director of Medical Education here, to collaborate with them on a book telling people who have diabetes how to begin a safe and effective practice. Because really, it's the scientific literature that's leading the way.
Let's talk about the science of yoga. What are, let's say, like the top few, you know, four to five different scientific evidence that yoga is helpful for your physical, mental, and emotional body?
Yeah. Well, I think that we've known for a while that yoga helps manage stress. But, you know, there's a great review paper that a researcher named Mary Dahlman from the University of California in San Francisco published a couple years ago. And it's really talking about that we live in this world with more and more stress. And we also have what we call a hyperpalatable food supply. And I know, Dr. Bennett, that you believe in the power of nutrition, and that's terrific. Well, what Mary Dahlman said, what this researcher said, was these two things, more and more stress and essentially a poor diet, combine to create an internal biochemistry that makes us more habitual choice makers, so that when we get home for dinner, we open up the fridge and it's not the tuna fish and the spinach that we're reaching for. She said there's one set of practices that she sees that helps to negate that stress activation that our whole culture is causing and helps re-engage our brain. It's really re-engaging the prefrontal cortex of the brain to make us more reasoned and better choice makers. And she said, gee, this set of practices is mindfulness, meditation, and yoga. So, you know, the whole neurobiology and what we're learning about that is really supportive. So that's one big area that's really supporting the practice of yoga used more broadly. And, you know, the second whole area of research is this area of genetics and epigenetics. You know, there was one study that came out last year in a journal called Psychoneuroendocrinology. And in that study, they looked at advanced meditators, and there was just a fairly small dose, a couple hours of meditation, and it showed that these meditators actually changed the biochemistry that supported their gene expression. And they, by meditating, they supported a gene expression that was more resilient. So gene expression not only determines the degree to which I look like my mom and dad, but gene expression and healthy gene expression really determines the smooth functioning of every cell in your body for the rest of your life. So, you know, these other sciences and the advances in genetics and in neurobiology are really supporting this ancient practice.
I love what you're saying, especially about this whole gene expression and resilience.
Isn't that
resilience is a beautiful word, because, you know, resilience is another word, it's called hormesis, where you yeah. can use food and the nutrients. And for here, what we're talking about is literally mindfulness and meditation and yoga, how that can actually help us adapt our tissues. This is about adapting ourselves to be able to deal with stress, ease stress more. And then, of course, what that means is that you're not going to trigger any of these disease processes like diabetes.
Exactly. And it's this whole idea that the choices and thoughts that we have actually become the very structure of our bodies.
Right. Oh, that's beautifully put right there. Our thoughts become the structure of our bodies. And that is so true. What we think can clearly is what our destiny will be. And when we talk about diabetes, in your book, you've got like 30 different yoga, I believe, poses, you can call it poses, that support diabetes. Can you just explain a little bit about someone who's a beginner, how this will help yeah. them?
Yes. Well, in our book, we set out basic postures, and then we arrange them into programs that are specific for individuals who are working with any type of diabetes. So, for example, if you're an individual with type 1 diabetes, there's a program for you. If you're an individual with type 2 diabetes and you're working with a condition like peripheral neuropathy, there's a program for you. If you're a woman who has gestational diabetes and you're just getting started, there's a program for you. So we really go through the specific issues that individuals with various types of diabetes and conditions that they're working with have, and we do a step-by-step process, how to begin, beginning nice and slowly. So we have a number of programs that are gentle, 10-minute programs to help an individual get started. And then as you progress, you can move into a longer program and so on and so forth. And we talk about how to modify your yoga practice to address glaucoma or peripheral neuropathy or medications that you might be taking, that sort of thing. So we just wanted to make it as accessible as possible to the, you know, millions and millions of Americans who have some sort of diabetes, including pre-diabetes.
Right. And, you know, one of the studies I read was that they said that in America, by 2020, and which is not far from now, 5 years from now, 50% of us will be diagnosed with prediabetes or diabetes. That's a huge 50%, you know. And and I was thinking about that, going, what is going on, and why is it that we have so much? Do you talk about that in your book?
A little bit, but you know, we're in this moment, as I'm sure you know, where 70% of Americans are now either overweight or obese, according to the national data. And you know, as you mentioned, 86 million Americans right now have prediabetes. So, you know, I think it goes hand in hand with the obesity epidemic, with the toxic food supply, and with the real de-physical activation of our lives. I mean, technology has been wonderful, but all those screens have really decreased the amount of movement that we have in a day. And also, you know, the increasing stress as well. So all these factors have really swirled together. And I'm sure you've talked to your listeners about sugar.
Yes.
That whole sugar phenomenon here in the United States and how ubiquitous it is.
Oh, Annie, Thanks so much. I wish we could talk more. Thanks so much for joining us today. Everyone, you can get the book at shopdiabetes.org, Yoga and Diabetes. Until then, this is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD.